We read from 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the story of David and Goliath. Not mentioned, his name is not mentioned in those verses that we read, but the Philistine in those verses was the giant Goliath. Again, as I prayed, this is a very familiar story. Most of us, if we grew up in a Christian home, heard this story from the time that we were a youth. I can remember both my grandmothers and my mother telling me this story over and over. And again, this is one of those stories, sometimes we get so caught up in the story and that the fact that we've heard it so many times that sometimes we forget to look for the truth that God has for us as we read it again. Again, some of these familiar stories, we say, well, I've read that 100 times. I've learned everything there is to learn from that story. And sometimes God has some more truth that he wants us to get to get from something that's very familiar, and we miss it. And so tonight, I want to look at this familiar story. I'm going to tell you, just to remind you a little bit of the story itself. But the thing I want to focus on tonight and draw your attention to tonight is the attitude or the thoughts that David had as he went to face the giants, the attitudes or the thoughts that allowed him to defeat Goliath. And so I've entitled my sermon tonight, Giant Slaying Attitudes. Giant Slaying Attitudes. And I would submit to you tonight that if we have these same thoughts or these same attitudes, that we could slay the giants that may come into our life from time to time. There are circumstances that come into our life from time to time. Those circumstances may come because of a health problem. Those circumstances may come because of a financial problem. Those circumstances may come because of a relationship problem. But different times, things happen in our life, and they're truly to us giants of situations, giants of circumstances. And we can defeat those giants in our life the same way David defeated Goliath. And part of the key to doing that is having the same attitudes that David had. So let me quickly remind you of the story. The army of the Philistines and the army of Israel were camped on either side of a valley. They were about to go into battle. They had gathered to fight. Saul was the king of Israel. He and his army were on one side. The Philistines were on the other. The Philistines had a champion. His name was Goliath. He was a big guy. He was about 9.5 feet tall. And remember, the Jews were short people. In fact, when Saul was selected to be king of Israel, one of the things that was noted about him is that he stood head and shoulders above all the other Jews. And so here was this champion, 9.5 foot tall. His armor weighed 156 pounds. I'm converting them to measurements that we're familiar with. And the head on his spear weighed 19 pounds. So day after day, this champion of the Philistines came out, and he defied the army of Israel, and he defied the God of Israel. He said, here's what he said. Hey, I'm the champion of the Philistines. You're supposedly the people of God. Pick you a champion. Let him come out and let us fight. If he wins, we'll just surrender and we'll serve you. But if I win, you just surrender and serve us. We don't have to lose a lot of life. We don't have to fight this battle. Just send out a champion and we'll fight. Winner take all, so to speak. In Israel, there was a man named Jesse. He had 8 sons. The Bible tells us that his 3 oldest sons was in the army of King Saul. So they were gathered beside this valley, and they had heard this challenge from the Philistine. Jesse's youngest son was the one that he had charged to keep his flocks, his sheep. His name was David. So one day, Dad called David and said, son, I want you to take some food, some parched corn and some loaves and some cheese. I want you to go to the army of Israel, where they're gathered to fight, and I want you to check on your brothers. I want you to see how your brothers are doing. And so David got up early the next morning. He found somebody to watch his sheep. He took the food that his father had mentioned and had gotten ready for him, and he went to the place where the armies were gathered. Now, it just so happens when he got there that the armies had gone into battle. The Israelites had not picked a champion, but the armies had joined themselves in battle. And the Bible says that David was in, he left his carriage or his wagon probably that he'd hauled the food with a keeper. And he got into a trench and watched and cheered, so to speak, for the armies of Israel. Probably as a young boy, he had never seen anything like that. And it was exciting just to stand there and watch what was happening. And so after the battle was over, he looked up his brothers and talked to them. And while they were talking, while he was visiting with his brothers, checking up on them as his dad had instructed him to do, Goliath comes again. He offers the same challenge. He says, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Here's what he said. "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Now, the Bible says that when the Israelite army heard this, that they were dismayed and greatly afraid. In other words, they were scared. Nobody in the army, not even King Saul, again, who was probably the tallest one there from a Jewish standpoint, from an Israeli standpoint, head and shoulders above all the other men, not even King Saul was willing to go fight Goliath. But David, a teenage shepherd boy, again, who was responsible for keeping his father's sheep, when he heard Goliath defy God, he asked this question. And he wasn't afraid. I mean, he didn't ask it quietly. He said it out loud so that not only his brothers could hear it, but other men in the army. He says, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, I'm going to give you three attitudes or three things that went through David's mind as he that are in this story that allowed him to defeat Goliath. I'm giving them to you tonight because these are the attitudes that we need to have when any sort of problem comes into our life. The attitudes that we need to have when any bad circumstance comes into our life. The attitudes that we need to have when any trial comes into our life. We need to have these same attitudes. And if we have these attitudes, we can defeat the giants that come into our life. The first attitude that David had, and we see it in that verse, is this: "My God is able." My God is able. Here's what David was saying. We serve a living God. Who does this guy think he is, defying the living God of Israel? He was saying to his the soldiers that were gathered there, who should have had this attitude. I mean, they were in the army. What he was saying to them, he says, "Men, don't forget what kind of God we serve. He is an omnipotent, he is an all-powerful God that is able to do anything that he wants to. His arm is not shortened. As Brother Bill testified a moment ago, there is nothing impossible to our God." And David was saying, that's the kind of living God that we have. He is able. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What Paul was saying in that verse, look, you think about how powerful God is, you think about how omnipotent God is, and you're just scratching the surface. I mean, what Paul was saying is, you cannot imagine, you cannot even put into thoughts how powerful our God is. He is able. I talked about the Israelites at the land of promise when they came to the Jordan River and they sent in the 12 spies this morning. 10 of them came back and said, oh no, we can't take it. And Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute, wait a minute. If our God wants us to have the land of promise, it doesn't matter how big the armies are, it doesn't matter how big the giants are, it doesn't matter how walled, strong the cities are, if our God wants us to have it, he will give it to us. He is able. We have a God that's able. If we're going to kill the giants that come into our life from time to time, we need to have that same attitude. Our God is able. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter what the problems are. Doesn't matter what the obstacles are. Our God is able. He will help us defeat any giant that comes into our life. Now look, our God created the universe. Everything. There's not a thing that exists today that our God didn't make. Brother Jeff on Thursday night talked about the rocks that we see. One of the things that God created that we can still see today. I mean, he had a rock with him. He brought in when he shared his devotion. He said God could have created this rock just like it is. Our God made everything. Everything. He made it. Bible tells us he holds it all together. It consists by him. It tells us in the book of Colossians. He knows there's not a little bird that falls on the earth that he doesn't know about. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Some of you, it's getting easier for God to keep track of them. I won't mention any names tonight. You can look around. I can look around and see the sun reflecting off of some of the heads that tonight. I'm going to have to get me some sunglasses if it goes very much further. But anyhow, our God is able. He's able. He is able. He can defeat any giant. Now, it's not one of my points, but I want you to notice what happened when David voiced that attitude, my God is able. He faced criticism. His brothers criticized him. His older brother said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Look, when you display the attitude and you start telling people that your God is able, you better know that Satan's going to come after you. He's going to level criticism at you because, and I'll get to it at the end of my message, Satan doesn't want the world to know that we have a living God. Satan doesn't want the world to know that we have a God that's able. And so you step out and step up and say, I have a God that's able. Guarantee you somebody's going to start criticizing you. Maybe a family member. Maybe a friend, maybe a fellow church member. They'll say things like, oh, hey, you better be careful. You're becoming a fanatic. You've gone too far. So it's okay to talk about God, but don't talk about him too much. Don't maintain that he can do anything. And Satan's going to make sure that somebody steps in your path to criticize you, to try to stop you. I want you to notice, just if you have your Bibles open, verse 30, when his brother said that, here's what David did. And he turned from him. He turned from him. Look, when somebody starts to criticize you because you start expressing the idea and the thought and the attitude that your God is able, and somebody starts to criticize you for that attitude, just turn away from them. Just turn away from him. David said he turned away from him and toward another and spake after the same manner. Don't let the critic defer you. Don't let the critic stop you. You just keep going. You just have the attitude that my God is able. It doesn't matter how big the giant is. Doesn't matter if he's 9.5 feet tall and his armor weighs 156 pounds and his spearhead weighs 19 pounds. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that he's a man of war. Doesn't matter that he's a tested warrior. Doesn't matter that he's fought in battles before. It doesn't matter. My God is able. Number two, here's the second attitude that David had. God is able to use me. Hey, God is able to use me. David was an unlikely candidate. I mean, here was a giant that was 9.5 foot tall. He was just a teenager. David's height is not talked about. He had a ruddy complexion. He was a good-looking young man, but we don't know how tall he was. He wasn't trained. Far as we know, he'd never fought in a battle. Far as we know, he never fought a giant before. Now, he's going to testify in just a minute. He said, hey, when I kept my father's sheep, a bear came and a lion came to come after the sheep, and God used me to kill those prey. And he says, if God is able to use me to kill the lion and to kill the bear and to kill the wolf that came after my sheep, then he can use me to slay this uncircumcised Philistine that's defying my God. If we're going to kill the giants that come in our life, if we're going to withstand the circumstances that come into our life, we've got to have the attitude that our God is able and that our God is able to use me. Me. No kidding. Me. Look at the people that God has used. He used a stuttering shepherd to lead his people out of Egypt. He used the runt of the smallest guy in the smallest tribe of Israel, a man by the name of Gideon, to defeat the Midianites. He used a group of fishermen, tax collectors, zealots to turn the world upside down. He used a nearsighted Jew to build the New Testament church. Why can't he use you? Why can't he use me? When God looks for people to use, he doesn't look for the strong, smart, rich. He looks for people that are willing to depend on him. David said, when the bear came, God and I defeated that bear because I depended on God. When the bear came, God used me to defeat the bear because I depended on God. God is looking for people who think that he is able and he's able to work through them. Paul begged God 3 times, take that thorn in the flesh away from him. I can almost hear the arguments that Paul made to God. And we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. But he said, God, I could everything I do, I could do better for you. If you would just take this problem away from me, if you would just remove this circumstance in my life, this ailment, whatever it was that I have, if you would just take it out of my life, I would be a better servant. I'd be a better preacher. I'd be a better church builder. Everything I do, I could do better. And God said, no, I'm not going to take it away. Paul said, I asked 3 times. God said, I'm not going to take it away. Because if I take it away, you won't depend on me as much as you depend on me now. I'm going to leave it so that you'll depend on me. And Paul said, I'm not going to ask anymore. Because in my weakness, I have to depend on God. And in my weakness, I can find his strength. God is able. He's able to use you and able to use me. And number three, God is able to use us just like we are. Just like we are. You see, when David was brought to Saul, Saul said, you can't go fight this giant. He's a champion of the Philistines. He's big. He's strong. He knows how to fight. You're just a shepherd boy. You have no experience. And again, David related what happened. We kept his father's sheep. And finally, Saul said, okay, you can go fight him. But let me give you my armor. And wasn't that big of Saul? He didn't have enough courage to go fight himself. He said, well, David, if you're going to go fight him, here's my armor. Here's my sword. Here's my helmet. Here's my shield. You can take it to fight this giant. I don't know if David put it on or not. If he put it on, he probably couldn't walk. It was so big. And he said to Saul, I can't take this. Can't fight in this. Haven't proved it. Haven't tried it. I'm going to stick with what's worked in the past. So the Bible says he took his sling, went down to the creek. That's in the original Hebrew there, Brother Clyde. To the creek. Picked him up 5 stones. Say, preacher, why'd he pick him up 5 stones? Because Goliath had 4 brothers. Didn't know if he was going to have to fight them all or not. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but he did have some brothers. And picked him up 5 stones. He went out to face Goliath. Goliath looked at him, and we read it from our scripture reading tonight. He disdained him. Goliath was insulted. He said, I'm a champion of the Philistines, and you send this kid to fight me? He said to David, I'm going to kill you. I am going to give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You're no match for me. He said, you don't even have a sword. You came to me with a stick, a stave. That's all you got. He said, am I a dog? You're just going to beat me with that stick? You think you're going to beat me that way? I'm going to kill you. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds and to the beasts of the field. And here's what David said. You come with sword and spear. I come in the name of the Lord. He'll deliver you into my hand. I'm going to take your head. And here's what he says. That all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. The greatest need that our world has today is to know that there is a God in heaven. We've been talking about it in Sunday school. We've had 3 lessons so far in our series. We were made by God. We were made for a purpose. That purpose is to bring glory to Him. That word glory means God is manifested. He's made known in all His power. When we bring glory to the Lord, we make known that there is an omnipotent, powerful God. There is a God in heaven. And David says, you know what, big guy? My God is going to deliver you into my hands so that everybody here can see that I serve a God that's able and more powerful than any giant. You see, Goliath thought he was just going to fight David. He didn't realize that he was not going to be fighting David. He was going to be fighting David's God. And David's God was a whole lot bigger than Goliath ever hoped to be. And David says, my God is going to deliver you into my hand so that everybody can know that there is a God in heaven. What David was doing was bringing glory to God. He was helping people. He was helping God be made known to the people by the fact that he was going to go fight that giant, and got his God, his powerful God, was going to deliver that giant into his hands. Again, the greatest need that the world has today is to know that there is a God in heaven. And the way that we can bring glory to that God, the way that we can help the world to know that there is a God in heaven, is to fight the giants that come into our life. And win. And win. And look to God and let everybody know, it wasn't me. David would certainly say, it wasn't me. Hey, I'm just a shepherd boy. I never fought a giant before. But with 1 little stone, he didn't even need all 5, just 1 little stone and a sling, he brought that giant down to the earth. He went and I find a lot of irony in this story. He didn't have a sword. He went and got Goliath's sword, cut Goliath's head off. Whenever I'm telling this story to the kids, I always like to tell them, you know, it wasn't just one little slice and that head chopped off. I mean, there's bone in that neck. I mean, when David took that sword and cut Goliath's head off, he was hacking. I mean, he chopped and chopped and chopped, and there was stuff in the little boys like it, the little girls, they just, but anyhow, he cut his head off. Again, that all the world may know that there's a God in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story. Again, we've heard it from the time we were little. We've heard it all our life. But what a wonderful story. What wonderful truth it teaches. And I pray tonight that we would realize that the same God who helped David defeat that giant is the same God that we serve. And when those things come into our life that look like giants, help us not to cower. Help us not to be like the other men in the Israelite army, but to know that we have a God that's able. He's able to use us, and he's able to use us just like we are to defeat that giant so that all the world may know that there's a God in heaven. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, they have the giant of sin in their life, and there's nothing that they can do to defeat it, but Jesus already fought that battle. He paid for their sin on Calvary, paid the price that they owed. And Father, if there's just one person here tonight that's never received Christ, help them understand that their sin's going to keep them from you. Help them understand that there's nothing they can do to pay for that sin, but what Jesus did on Calvary is sufficient. If they'd come to him, he'd save them from the penalty of sin. Most of us are Christians here tonight. Again, Father, help us to know that you're able. We have an able God. We can do all things through your strength. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.